Dear Diary, it's day three here on the show island. I'm all by myself. Days gone at Michigan Paracon.
When I was young,
it's my birthday.
I never needed anyone.
Trying to shake off the blues. So I decided, self, I'm going to go to the Minnesota State Fair today. I'm going to go to the Great Minnesota Get-Together. I want to go out and experience people. It's so lonely here in the studio. So I went out to the Minnesota State Fair, wheeling around on my little knee caddy. And I ran into a kid standing against the wall at the arcade. He had a smartphone with him in one hand and a foot-long hot dog in the other, a little corn dog. I think he was chasing Pokemon. There were a lot of them out there, that whole Pokemon Go craze. And he says, "Hey, mister." I said, "Yeah, kid." Thinking maybe he wanted me to play Pokemon Go with him. Maybe I found a friend. Maybe. And he said, "You look pretty old." And I went, "Huh?" And he said, "Do you find yourself urinating more frequently than usual?" And I went, "Well, yeah, why?" He goes, "Well, here, you should probably take this foot-long corn dog." I go, "What am I going to do with this?" He goes, "Well, why don't you shove it up your keister and see if your prostate's enlarged?" I found out at that moment, I really hate kids. I kind of hate the state fair, too. I'm not going to lie. But hey, we're going to be out there next week at the Minnesota State Fair, the Great Minnesota Get-Together. You can actually come out and see us live. Monday, we'll be out there from 4 to 8 p.m. We'll be taping the show. And you can come out and see that. And it'll re-air from 9 to midnight. I know you're saying, "Tim, you'll be out there for 4 hours doing 3 hours of a show." Don't ask questions. I can't do the physics at this time of night. I've been out at the Great Minnesota Get-Together eating a lot of food. Just saying. I'm stuffed to the gills right now. We'll be taping Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday, but then Friday. We'll keep you up to date as to the times, but I believe it's Monday 4 to 8, Tuesday 4 to 8, Wednesday 3 to 7, and I think 2 to 6 on Friday, because we have Vikings football on Thursday, and Vikings football on Sunday, and I know there's a brand new show every day next week. So you may be saying, "Tim, you sound like you're a little down." It is my birthday, yeah. But you know what? I'm not down, folks. Let's get rid of that. I'm not down. You know why? Because I said to Amy, "Well, you know what? I am a little down. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little down." Because in the first hour, we were supposed to have Tommy Dreamer on. And Tommy, things didn't work out. Tommy and I, we had a little bit of a miscommunication. That's okay. That happens from time to time. But you know what? Somebody saved the day. I'm not going to lie. Somebody saved the day. I'd said to Amy, who made me work on my birthday, not that I don't mind that, by the way, folks. I kind of gave you a little bit of a guilt trip the other night, and I didn't really mean to. I'll tell you this much. I've been wanting to do this whole radio thing since I was like 8, 9 years old. I'm not going to lie. So really, if I was going to be anywhere tonight other than the state fair, dancing around on one leg to Prince music, looking like somebody might have shot me in the other one, it's kind of a funny visual if you think about it. I'd rather be here, you know, with you guys, putting on a show, having a good show at that. So I said to Amy, if I'm going to work on my birthday, here's what I want. I have some requirements, Amy, if you're going to book me a show. First of all, I want somebody who's going to stimulate my senses. I want somebody who's going to challenge my brain. Somebody who's 10 times smarter than I am. Somebody who's on the cutting edge of research. And somebody who, if I need to, I can talk cigars with. Because by gosh, I'm going to have them for probably 2-3 hours. And Amy says to me, "Challenge accepted." So you know what? On the phone right now, and actually, she saved my hindquarters tonight because I called her up and I said, "Karen Dahlman, I had a wrestler drop out of me, Karen. Can you save my behind?" And she said, "Absolutely." So on the phone right now, on the Welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, Karen Dahlman. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Tim. How are you this evening? And we must say, happy birthday, Tim.
Oh, thank you, my dear. I appreciate it. Karen, you are doing some great stuff with not only with the Ouija board, but you're doing stuff with animal communications, dead and alive. And we're going to talk all about it tonight. We have a whole bunch of time to talk tonight. And about animal reincarnation, what happens when an animal dies. We're going to jump into all of that. Now, And about all kinds of different communication. You know, we had David Weatherly on last night. We talked a lot about Bigfoot. We'll get into some Bigfoot communication tonight as well.
Ooh,
we'll talk about ET communication because we talked a little bit about Black Eyed Kids last night with David Weatherly. I want to go all over the place here. And maybe even towards the end of the evening, maybe we'll even do some Ouija readings too. Because you know what, Karen? In my life, I have tackled every single fearful thing everybody has ever been afraid to tackle. And most people are scared of the Ouija board. I'm not. You know why?
I know you're not.
Because I've broken almost every bone in my body like Evel Knievel. You can't scare me. I'm not one of those scaredy cat radio hosts. I don't care. I'm just saying. You know? I don't think there's anything scary about the Ouija board, do you?
Boo.
Ah!
Are you scared now?
Ah! Well, you scared me there, okay? I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing scary about the Ouija board is the people that may be using it. It's not the board itself. We've got to remember that.
Right. Right. So we've got lots of places we can go tonight as far as topics and lots of things to talk about. So let's do this, Karen. Let's dip out and take our first break of the program. And when we come back, let's start talking about animal communication and how you got into this part of communication, both with the Ouija board and without the Ouija board, okay?
Excellent.
All right, we'll do that with Karen Dahlman when we come back here on The Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals, moles. Maybe you think that you can hide. I can smell yourself for miles. Just like animals.
Welcome back to The Best in Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio. Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, who is at Michigan Paracon. And our guest is Karen Dahlman. I got to tell you, Karen, you know what? I got a really nice, actually, Dave shot two really nice videos from Michigan Paracon today. I got kind of a cut-up video of a bunch of different paracelebs wishing me a happy birthday, which was really cool. And then I think it was from his talk today. He got up on stage and he had a full house at his talk today. And everybody sang happy birthday to me. And I can't lie, I had a little tear in my eye, which was really cool.
Oh, my gosh, that is so kind of everybody.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody, too, for all the happy birthday wishes and well wishes on social media today. I've had time to maybe say thank you to maybe a fifth to an eighth of the people who have wished me happy birthday yet. But I'll get to everybody, I swear.
I posted on your Facebook page, too.
Did you? I haven't even seen it yet. I've been busy.
I know
you do. And I secretly get really giddy and I dance around in my living room. You can't see it. And I don't tell you, except for right now, behind the secrecy of a microphone where you can't see me. I just did, didn't I? That was out loud in my out loud voice. And now
you smoke a cigar, right?
Yes, I do. To try and calm down. Yeah.
Good.
That is what I do. And now I'm extremely embarrassed and I'm blushing. So, you know, we should probably change topics before I start stammering and stuttering and sound like an idiot for 2.5 hours.
Right.
You're right. Right. So animal communication, Karen, tell me, first of all, and now in what you've been doing with the Ouija board and with other communication studies, how is it that you decide you're going to turn your attentions to animals, both dead and alive? How do you decide you're going to bridge that gap from humans to animals?
Yeah, well, I didn't choose to do animal communication. I will say this. When I was younger, I always thought I could understand animals or the trees or the plants. And I think a lot of children have that innate ability just to feel like everything's alive to them and to understand maybe the consciousness or awareness of these of other things around them. They're focused on the world and how beautiful it is and the plants and the trees and everything. So I was no different than that. But I didn't go out searching for animal communication, and I certainly didn't go about it searching it on the Ouija board. So what happened was, through a progression of many years, I started in 1973, as we talked about before, and I started in about 1986 talking to my higher self, angels, guardians, and guides. And then I started talking to ethereal beings through the board. So it became my cosmic phone. Now, I had no idea you could speak to the animals through the to the board. But I mean, why not? I guess I never thought of doing that. But what happened one day? I was on the board, and I'll tell you the date. And I have this verbatim because I kept copious notes and records of every session I had since 1989 and to the present day. And so
I was going
to
say, we started the show in 1875. You couldn't have gone that far back.
Well, 1890 is when the Ouija board came out.
So right.
I've been doing it that long, you know, in a past life. Okay. So it was January 26, 1996. And I was sitting at the board with my partner talking to my angel. My angel's name is Mary, Mary Angel. And she said, all of a sudden, she said in the middle of the conversation, "You aren't going to believe this." And I'm like, "What? Okay, I talked to all these different beings. Of course I'm going to believe it." And then she said, "Somebody has a message for you." And then all of a sudden, the planchette changed motion, like it slowed down, and it went a different direction. I can tell one of a different spirit was switching. That happens on the planchette when you're switching between different spirits. It's just like tuning your dial on the radio. You get a different frequency, and so that happens, same thing, when you move into another frequency to connect with it. So anyway, it changed directions, and all of a sudden what spelled was, "Hermes cat, I love you." Now, I had a little cat there, actually a pretty big orange cat, tabby cat, sitting in a chair, his favorite rocking chair, where he would sit when I did the Ouija board with my partner, and was sitting there looking right at me. And I said, "Mary, did my cat just talk to me?" She said, "Yes, that is exactly what happened. I want you to know you can talk to animals that are alive and you can talk to animals that are dead." And I went, "Oh, goodness gracious." That opened a whole new world for me, and it has not been the same since. So I from that day forward, 1996, I've been talking to the animals through the board and without the board to present time.
Wow. So you have this initial reaction, but then I got to ask you this, because once, you know, when you're told something like that, something that's very fantastic, there's a moment of doubt, and I know you probably had that moment of doubt. How do you move forward from that? How do you say to yourself, "Okay, well, I've been told I can do this." How do you put it into practice?
Well, at that point, I'd already been using the board for 23 years. And so I'd already moved through the whole doubt. I would say the first 10 to 15 years, I still had some doubt, like, is this really happening? Am I making this up? But once you get to a point of like 23 years at that point, I wasn't having doubt. I can definitely feel the different motions come through the planchette. I could tell, I call it the signature of the spirits as they move through and come in. I can feel their energy on the board. I can feel their energy sometimes around me. I feel the shift in that. And so at that point, after 23 years, I was like, "Okay, lay it on me. Let's see what this is about." But it was a moment of, really? I can talk to things that are alive, not just dead? Or in between, you know, living or ethereal beings? I thought it had to be dead. I mean, Tim, think about it. The Ouija board came out as a spiritual communication device to speak to the deceased. So that's what people use it for. But at this point, I already started talking to just different kinds of energies, even interdimensional and even extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, so the animals come forward now. It's just a progression of, you know, I've spoken to all these different types of beings. It kind of made sense to me. But it started making even more sense as they came forth and started really sharing their experiences, and even having other people in the room or talking to other people's animals, they would, and I don't even know their animals, they would say, "That's right on, that's accurate." So it was kind of weird at first talking to something that was alive, but then it becomes very natural because the animals do work through energy. They work through vibration and also images when they communicate with you.
Walk me through the first time you talked to something that was alive. What did it feel like? What did it say to you? Just take me through it. That's got to be a different experience.
Yes, okay. So when I first talking to something that was alive, it was my higher self and other people's higher self. So it's, you know, the higher self is that part of us that is within us, but yet it's so much more expansive than our human body. So it's not contained in the body. It's part of our existence here, but it's that part of us that connects us back to our divine self or connects us back to source. It's that greater part of ourself that's more like intuitive, empathic, it's understanding, it's knowing, it's psychic, but it goes way beyond our body. So when I started talking to people's higher self, we were getting some really wise information that was not afraid to confront ourselves, with things we need to look at in our life or things we might need to change or suggestions for living. And so it was just like this talking to this wise ancient soul. And it was really stimulating, and so much that I spent 4 years speaking mostly just to higher self.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around that, because here's where I'm coming from, Karen. I mean, like, and let me throw a couple of scenarios at you. I have friends that, and I'm not going to name them here on the air because obviously I don't want to embarrass them, but I have friends that will sit there and talk to their pets. Let's say their cat or their dog, because I don't want to narrow them down any more than I have to. And they'll say, like, look at little Fluffy. Oh, little Fluffy thinks, you know, this is what they think little Fluffy is saying. Little Fluffy loves his treats. Oh, yes, he does. And, you know, little Fluffy's just sitting there going, God, I hate this guy. I really do. Oh, yes, I do. And you just can see the contempt in the pet's eyes. You don't have to be intuitive to see it. You can be as dead as a stone, right? And then you have, and you got to be thinking that, you know, although I don't think that, you know, that simple thoughts come from pets and that's the only thing that comes from them, I don't necessarily, I would have never thought in a million years that this pet is this wise sage of the universe that knows all and is the be all end all of the universe either. Am I just that limited in scope?
No, okay, so they have some specific messages for us, but I would say our higher self, that part of our life consciousness, is definitely has access to much more information than even our brain can comprehend or we can even express. So we ourselves have like this understanding of much more than we're able to even acknowledge. But pets, they're very wise in the fact that they don't have, first of all, they wanted me to tell you tonight, I went on the board and spoke to consciousness of animals and tapped into one of the beings I talk to often, and this being is one that translates what the animals have to say into human language, of course, mm-hmm. because there is a translation, you know, there's a translation gap there. So you need an intermediary on the board to help you do that often. Sometimes the household pets will come through. But they wanted, hey, let me get my message. They wanted me to tell you, and this goes right along with what you're saying, that these animals, they have no sense of judgment. Basically, they said, only humanity judges. Animals do not. They're animals, they are always grateful. Humanity often is not. He says, they must understand, meaning people, they cannot hear this with their traditional values. Rather, begin to hear from the perspective of the animal. And so what that means is, in order to communicate with an animal, and people do that all the time, like you said, they mostly read their body language. Oh, little Fluffy, come here. Oh, you cute little baby, let me give you a treat, like you mentioned. That's not really listening to the animal. That's really talking at the animal. Mm-hmm. Not that the animal doesn't appreciate it, but if we're silent and get quiet and sit with the animal, look into their eyes, be silent and pet them and feel what comes back, we will start getting, this happens to me all the time, images and words and paragraphs, sentences, they have things to say. And it's not on such always a high level. It could just be, I'm really hungry. Please feed me my favorite food. Or I like it when you hold me in your lap. Or I like to go on walks. It's more like that. They're not like these wise sages of the ages. But yet we can learn so much from them because they are unconditional loving, number one. And they're non-judgmental, number two. I don't know any humans that are at that level, personally, unless you're like Gandhi, Buddha, or Jesus.
Right. And you know what? I have an interesting point to bring up to that, too, Karen. But you know what? We're at a point where we got to take a break. When we come back, you just brought up a very interesting point. These animals may be non-judgmental and pure of heart, but we aren't. And it makes me wonder why they don't change their perspective. When we come back, I want to talk about the fallibility of humans and the evil side of humans and why that doesn't affect an animal's spirit. When we come back, we'll talk about that with Karen Dahlman right here on Darkness Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. Karen Dahlman is our guest, and we are talking about animal communication. Before the break, Karen, we were talking about how animals are pure souls and that they're a lot of unconditional love there, that they're non-judgmental, that they're kind of dealing out, they're dealing from a pure place of heart. But humans, we don't deal from a pure place of heart. There's a lot of anger there. There's a lot of evil there, Karen, and a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in those ads late at night from Sarah McLachlan that shows abused animals, and you would think animals have every single right in the freaking world to want to attack back at us. How come they don't?
Well, you have heard of cases where, you know, wild animals and even domestic animals, if there's cases where they turn on people, it's not that they're perfect.
Right.
It's that they understand their lot in life. And they also don't even see death as an end. They just know that they're here and they move on into another realm. And we could talk about that when they get to the inner realm after they die. Because I've worked with pets that are animals who have gone, who were dying and who've been in the other realm and have actually reincarnated. That's a whole other topic. But so animals are, they're appreciative to be here and they understand they're here. Some of them, they understand their livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them understand, you know, their roles. And then you've got a wild animal who understands this role too. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
I'm really attracted to owls. I love owls, and I see owls a lot. It's almost as if I'll go somewhere and say, I wish to see an owl, and there's like a bighorn, great horn owl, or there's a white barn owl, and I see them quite often. And so in one of my backyards, I would see these owls every now and then. And so anytime I heard a hoot-hoot, I had to go outside and see them. So I had this kind of like relationship where I hear a hoot-hoot, run outside, and I'd see an owl or a pair of owls, and they would fly when they see me really close to me, and they come out of my palm trees. And it was just exciting to me. So I decided to reach out into owl consciousness and talk to them. And so talking to this consciousness of owls, it's almost like a, let me explain how this works. So you can talk to some animals directly, like mostly the ones you have connections with, and it might be a wild animal like a squirrel you've rescued or a rabbit or a deer, or it might, or your domestic pets. Those are the easiest ones to really have full-on direct communication with, where they talk to you directly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the wild animals are a little harder. They're on a different frequency, and they're not used to humans communicating with them or vice versa. So there's always this interpreter. And so there's a spirit energy I use, and he likes me just to call him Papa for better use of words. And I talked to Papa, the consciousness of these animals. So I asked to speak to the owl's consciousness, and the owls couldn't come through themselves. So he was their translator and basically said, we are the kings of the night. He said, we are killing machines. We eat a lot and must kill without mercy or we die. No warning, just certain death to who they kill. And so they're willing to admit, this is our life. This is what we do. We don't judge. Again, they're not judgmental. Mm-hmm. This is how we survive. And so we have to survive to kill something. That's how we're going to live. So, you know, you got shark attacks. If they feel threatened, they're going to bite. They're going to kill you. It's those kinds of things. It's not because they hate you. It's because they're just instinctual and they're going to do what they need to do. But it's not out of malice. It's typically out of their instincts. Tim, I had a rattlesnake in my backyard the other day.
Okay.
A huge California rattlesnake. It's on Facebook if anybody wants to go see it. And I actually talked to the consciousness of rattlesnake. But what was interesting about it was he came, and it was a he, came for just to get water out of my little, I have a little waterfall pond, and just came out of the little outside area of my fence, came in, and I caught it while I was in there getting ready to drink, and it drank, it coiled up. I said, okay, I'm getting out of here, out of respect. But the consciousness said, I've been here many times, but I come here just to drink, and it meant no harm. It's just, but the instincts, if you got too close to me, I would bite you. You get too close because it's just instinctual. So we have to be really respectful of animals in that way. But they aren't evil because they do that. They're just responding naturally how they're made to respond. Us humans have an opportunity to do some really complex thinking, and we have the ability to have choice and to choose things. Yet we tend to choose like knee-jerk reactions, and we can get really ugly and therefore, you know, do not nice things to other people, as we're talking about.
You know, I'm looking, I'm looking at the video right now on your Facebook page.
Is that crazy or what?
That is. Actually, I'm going to play the rattle for people here. Let me bring it up here on my board. And here's the video. You can hear the rattle. And it is. It's just kind of going into that little area, and it's taking a drink.
Yeah, he just drank. I took a bunch of photos of him drinking. And
yeah.
As long as I was, and I was probably 5 or 6 feet from him, and I zoomed into it, and I knew, and I even looked this up online afterwards, but I knew that they could only strike about half or two-thirds of their body length, and I knew he wasn't coiled. He couldn't strike me. And,
right.
And it was respect. And just giving him respect, stepping back, he just stayed there coiled, and about an hour later, he went back on his merry way. He's not in my yard anywhere, and mm-hmm. but he told me, he said, I've been here many times before. It's just the drink. There's respect. And so when it's how we treat the animals. I mean, they're always going to be non-judgmental. They're going to do what they instinctually do. That's what animals do. But they're not going to do anything out of purpose. Like, they're not going to start wars with us, like Planet of the Apes, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
This is not what they're about. I mean, let me give you another example, if I may, Tim, about their how they think. I also really like buffalo, and it's one of my favorite totem animals, and I'm really into buffalo stuff. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to start communicating with all the consciousness of the animals I really feel affinity towards. So the buffalo had a lot more to say, and I also spoke to dolphins too, and that's kind of what spurred me on to talk to buffalo, because I feel like dolphins are one of the most intelligent creatures. And buffalo, I couldn't believe how wise they were. They almost spoke to me like a Native American would. It was that wise. This is what they said. We have fed and clothed millions. We have been responsible for the rise of the minds of even more. We continue to fulfill our task of feeding many. We adorn many who love us dearly, and we are proud to continue in this capacity. This is our way. We have no plight. We have only love for all who need us as they too love us. And then he goes on to say, yeah, we too are vegetarian. That is why our meat is so rich, because I mentioned I was a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, we speak to all, including those who willingly give of their life force so that we may live. And we are thankful for their sacrifice, though they do this willingly and see this as their task, not sacrifice. Yes. The grass of the field is as aware as you or I. So they were thanking, right in front of me as a message, thanking the grass that gives their life so willingly, and that the grass is so alive, and they have this communion within their environment. And so they're talking about how they have fed and clothed many Native people over the years. And it's not like they're upset, like they're on these natural farms, and they know part of it is still feeding people. That's part of the relationship they have with us now, because we haven't changed, and that's what the relationship is. They're here to support us on that. I'm not here to say don't eat meat. I'm not here to say eat meat. I don't eat meat. Mm-hmm. That's a personal choice. But I'm just saying the animals are aware, and they are aware when they are stuck in environments that are less than nice and they're inhumane. They're very aware of that too. But this is the thing. They will never hate. They will give of themselves lovingly as we see fit. And it just brings almost a tear to my eye to think how much they love us and trust us, yet we can be so cruel and evil at times.
Should that, how should I phrase this? Should that make a meat eater feel better then? I mean, it's not that they feel bad, because I don't think the typical meat eater feels bad when it comes to...
No, I don't think they should.
Okay.
I don't think they should. I think what we need to look at here is the animals willingly will give themselves to us in whatever way we see fit. They're willing to not judge, they're willing to trust and go along with whatever plight that is. So, okay, so here's another example.
Okay.
We all know about what's going on in Japan. Every once a year, mm-hmm. they have this one cove where they beat the heck out of the dolphins, right, and they're bloody, and we see that as bludgeoning, and we see that as, you know, ferocious and terrible, and I would say, yes, it is. And the dolphins, I spoke to the consciousness of dolphins, and I said, I've got to ask you about this ritual that happens yearly in this cove in Japan and how they beat the heck out of these dolphins to the pulp. So they're dead, bloody.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolphin consciousness said, basically, I have the gist of it is, I have it in one of my journals. I couldn't pull it up in time to get on your show in
sure.
time, Tim.
Yeah.
But the gist of it is this. They said, we see what you do to your own mankind. We are aware of how you bludgeon each other and kill each other. We are here to show you no differently what you do to each other that is happening to us. We will willingly show that to you as an example. And until you change, this will not change either, because we will give of ourselves in the way you need to see us to give ourselves.
But now I kind of want to stop here, because do you think in Americans' eyes, and let's focus on just Americans here for a second, do you think in Americans' eyes it's more of an atrocity for us to see the bludgeoning of dolphins than it is for us to see cattle being processed or pigs being processed. Because to us, cattle and pigs are food, but dolphins tend to, in our eyes, be more intelligent than maybe a cattle or... I'm not saying a dolphin's more intelligent than a pig. I think they're probably on the same level intelligence-wise.
Yeah, pigs are pretty intelligent, yeah.
But but a pig isn't as cute as a dolphin is. So, you know, that tends to be our intelligence scale. How cute is it, and can we snuggle up to a pig as opposed to a dolphin? Is that pretty much where we lie as Americans? If it's too cute and it's probably too intelligent, then we're not going to touch it. But hey, you know what? If it's tasty and it's not that attractive, I can live with it. Do we have a weird set of standards that we can live with in order to process it?
Well, you bring up a good point. I think that's part of it. I think the other part is what are we used to as we've been growing up? What are we used to having as our stock animals? You know, our livestock. What is it? We're not used to having dolphins as livestock. So, and again, I'm not here to say it's right or wrong. I'm trying to give these messages as they give it without putting my own judgment in it. I have my own judgment about things because of just my own background and how I eat and what I think and all those things. But I'm here to don't shoot the messenger. I'm here to give the message and the message of what these animals are telling me. And I would have thought they would have said, oh, it's horrible. We don't want to be beaten up. But they're saying we will continue to do this. As long as you need us to be a part of this for you, we are here to help you evolve. And if you can't see what you're doing to yourself, you're never going to see what you're doing to us. So their whole point is we're going to serve this. We're going to serve as we need to serve because we're going to show you the atrocities. And so around the world, we all look at this and go, that's so bad. I don't like it. I personally don't like it. But they're saying we will continue doing this until you can stop your own atrocities on land.
One more question for you before we go to break, this last break of the hour here. If they could take a look at our history books, can't they see that these atrocities have been going for hundreds of years?
They're aware of it.
It's not going to end anytime soon. We appreciate the sacrifice and all, but it's not like we're going to turn a corner anytime soon. Do they realize that this maybe the sacrifice may be in vain?
They absolutely understand that. We wouldn't say vain because they're patient. Another thing about patient animals, they're very patient and loving, and they're not worried about time. Again, they don't see themselves when they die that it's over. They see themselves as moving on into another existence, and they know they're going to have another opportunity to exist in another form. So they don't ever see themselves as being ever killed and being done with. Quite fascinating.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about that other form. And can animals see ahead to the future and see that they're maybe what they're going to reincarnate into next? We'll talk to Karen Dahlman about animal communication when we come back here on Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, who is at Michigan Paracon. And we'll be back on Monday. We'll be doing Monday Parashare and Supernatural News. Be sure to tune in Monday. We'll be doing it live from the State Fair. So we'll be taping out at the State Fair. Join us from 4 to 8 at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. If you are here in Minnesota, of course, if you're in another state, it's going to be pretty hard to do that unless you drive here. I mean, you could do that. Otherwise, we'll replay it from 9 to midnight. Here on the station. And you can hear it there or just podcast it, you know. Karen Dahlman is our guest. And before the break, Karen, you were saying that these animals, you know, they suffer this torture for our benefit, so we'll become enlightened. But eventually they know that everything will be fine because they'll reincarnate maybe even into a higher form. Do they have an idea? Because we don't have an idea when we're on this earth. I mean, you and your incarnation is Karen Dahlman. I'm sure you don't know where, well, maybe you do. I don't know where you're going after this. I have no idea where I'm going after Tim Dennis kicks off this mortal coil. Hopefully just something where I'm a little luckier in life. We just generally don't have an idea. But do these animals have an idea?
Some of them do. I want to make one more point about the dolphins.
Sure.
One of the most important messages of the dolphin is that it wasn't to knock our livestock program. And the buffalo's message was really about being treating the animals humanely. He treating them in well condition. That was more their message. That's why they have no problem with what they do. But the dolphins really was for us to face ourselves and look at ourselves. Don't just look at this as being, it is horrible when we look at it, but they say, look at what you're doing to each other and really just face that within yourself. And so that was really their message. And so I don't know if it's enlightening or what, but when you look at it, they're able to transcend all that anger and hate and destruction, and they can transcend that and they don't experience that. They're just a different vibration. So whether that makes them better or greater, I'm not here to judge that, but to say that they have a grasp on unconditional love again and just what it's like to be in your existence and to work kind of harmoniously within their own environment.
This may
and that
seem
doesn't include killing, like the owls.
Okay.
We do kill.
Well, killing machines. You know what? I'm gonna kind of switch you up on questions here, because this may seem a little callous too, but
okay.
And may seem like kind of a weird question coming out of left field. But you know what? There is that controversy of dolphins getting caught up in tuna nets, and a lot of times it seems like maybe we, the way you're talking about it, maybe we get a little more caught up about dolphins getting caught in tuna nets, and we get a little more worked up than the actual dolphins do. Is that the case? Is there a dolphin swimming out there in the ocean that gets caught up in a tuna net and goes, you know what, you just screwed my future up by catching me in a net? I was really destined to go out and do this and really change somebody's karma out here, but instead I'm now getting packaged by chicken of the sea. I mean, do they ever get upset by something like that?
Anytime anybody's freedom's taken away, whether it's an animal or they're confined or caged and it's against what they were doing, yeah, there's a fear. There's a feeling, upset's just more of a humanistic word. But I would say there's a fear, and they go into instinctual mode, and no, you could say they don't like it. So no, they don't like getting caught up in nets. They don't like to be interfered with what their freedom is. All these animals feel that way. So that's the part we have to look at. And that's really their message. You know, they do well in their environment, and they do well in their environment, unencumbered. And just like we do, we don't want to be caught and thrown in a cage, or, you know, we don't want to go to jail if we get, you know, we do something wrong, you know,
right,
that kind of thing. We don't. Yeah. So that's how they feel too. It does put a damper on their life. But what's really, really fascinating, I find, about the animals, domestic or wild, they're adaptable. So no matter what gets thrown at them, they don't sit around and sulk. They figure out how they're going to adapt. They may be fear-based and worried and cornered, but they always find a way to adapt. And they don't sit there and sulk and go, poor me. They move forward the best they can. I can give you some examples of that, too.
Well, you know what, Karen? Let's hold on to that. Let's do that in the beginning of next hour, because I want to relate that kind of to a domestic situation, too.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of pets out there, and you see a lot of pets that eventually maybe even make it out of that situation and go to shelters and eventually maybe do make it to good homes. Some animals don't make it out of that situation and have sadder circumstances. So let's tackle that. And we're up against our top of the hour break here. So let's talk about that when we get into the next hour. Next hour may be a little sad for some people. I realize that. But you know what? We're going to tackle all avenues of animal communication, how the animals feel. And maybe next hour, at the end of the hour, we'll take some phone calls from people I've had quite a few already, believe it or not, since we've been on the phone.
Great.
Here, Karen. And people are very interested in this topic and want to ask you some questions as well and have some things they want to bring up with you, too. And then maybe in the third hour, we'll get around to some Ouija readings as well with Karen Dahlman. Again, Karen Dahlman's our guest. We're talking about animal communication, both dead and alive. And we've got lots of interesting places to go tonight with Karen. Again, stay tuned. It's only going to get more interesting here on the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio.